Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where instead of talking about something that aired on Toonami, we talk about something that maybe could have. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
I don't know why I had to think for a minute about my name, but, you know, there it is. This week we watched Halo Legends, which is a compilation of short Halo-related anime films. Basically, you know, Halo is the massive video game franchise about a super soldier in space blowing up rings, and that's all I'm going to explain about it.
Yeah. It's just like Sonic.
Yeah, except he shoots the rings instead of collecting them.
Also, Shadow.
Yeah.
We watched Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh, my God. I mean, we've talked about how we need to actually just sit down and play that game together, but...
Yeah. You know. Think that'd be good. I think that'd be pretty solid.
Yeah, we'll see. That might happen in the future. Anyway, so this movie was released in 2010, but several of the shorts in it were first put out on the Halo companion app Halo Waypoint, starting in November 2009. And then, you know, They were put together into this anthology film. Two of the segments from the movie, namely the segments Homecoming and Odd One Out, were actually not aired on Waypoint, so those are original to this. Also, for some reason, the airing on Waypoint and the, like, ordering of them in the movie is different. So we're just going to be talking about them in the movie order, because that's what we watched.
Waypoint, huh? That's a throwback. Like, that's probably one of the earliest companion app things.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, even seeing Waypoint now, I was like, whoa, weird. Like, I technically still have that on my Xbox, but I haven't opened it since, like, Halo Master Chief Collection came out, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's been quite a while. Of course, there hasn't really been a Halo game, or at least not a, you know, mainline Halo game in a while either. So, anyway.
This is an interesting production to think about, because, like, I've never really gotten the impression that Halo was big in Japan.
Right.
Because typically Xbox has done very poorly in Japan,
exactly.
Because they, you know, it's a very small country that it produces many of the main video games in the world, so it's going to be hard to penetrate that market.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting seeing, like, I think pretty much all of these are Japanese studios.
Yeah, they are, to my understanding anyway.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I never really considered that, but that's a good point. Like, that it is a little weird. Like, it's not, I don't know, Dark Souls, I guess, like, or something. I mean, that's not a great example necessarily, but yeah, it's not a Sony franchise. It's a Microsoft franchise, which, as you said, does not have a ton of market share in Japan. So, interesting choice. I think that it worked out well enough, but let's just start talking about the segments, and then I guess we'll talk about what we thought about it as we wrap up here.
Yeah.
So the first two segments are Origins 1 and 2. These were both made by Studio 4C, who, among other things, made the Berserk Golden Age movies, as well as the 2011 Thundercats show, which I believe we've talked about before. I can't remember if we mentioned that when we were watching Thundercats or not, but whatever. So these segments have kind of a framing device of Cortana talking to Master Chief and basically outlining the history of the Halo universe.
This one had a very comic booky kind of art style to me. Like,
The first one in particular, I feel like, looked very much like an animated comic book. I actually really liked the art style of this. And it was a good start for the movie in general, I'd say. Like, I will say that the music doesn't always fit. I feel like there are a number of these segments where they're pretty clearly using music straight from the games. And
while
I can understand why you do that, a lot of the time it doesn't quite work right.
Yeah. I liked this Origins bit because I don't think it's ever been spelled out so succinctly, like, what happened in the Halo universe. So it's kind of like, there were humans and all these other intelligent races, and then and then like this super race of aliens fought this crazy, the Flood, this like crazy monstrous aliens that fed on intelligence or whatever and kept growing and growing. And so they had to just delete everything in order to stop the Flood.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this like whole like reset of all civilization. I thought that was kind of neat. I didn't really totally pick up on that in the times I've played the games. Like I've played through all the main ones before Halo 5, I think. Yeah, so you know, enjoy them well enough. I've never been like super into the universe,
yeah,
of it.
Into the lore stuff. I mean,
yeah,
also a decent amount of that lore stuff is kind of hidden a little bit,
yeah,
in the
true.
Games, like it's not,
that's kind of how Bungie would do it.
Yeah, right. There's like terminals and shit that you can access that'll give you, you know, little cinematics that you can watch and kind of piece together the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's not, I would not say that in the games it is spelled out quite as directly as it is here. So I can understand why that would be a nice, like, oh, like this is actually what they're trying to get at with
right.
all of this shit. And they're kind of hitting it obliquely. So Origins 1 is basically concerned with the past of Halo, of the Halo universe, how basically we got to the start of the games, and then Origins 2 is about the events of the games themselves. So basically, humanity is expanding into space and runs into this alien empire called the Covenant, which is like a theocracy who decide that humanity is some kind of affront to their gods, and they get into this big war. Eventually they find the Halo rings, which were the devices that the like old, you know, alien race, the Forerunners, used to delete everything in the galaxy, and they fight over that, etc. Until eventually they end up kind of allied together fighting against the Flood, who are these kinds of like parasite zombie aliens basically that take over people. So generally these segments were kind of, I don't know, that they're, for someone who's more aware of the lore, they were pretty like, yeah, okay, I kind of know all of this, but it was still a nice like stylized way to look at it. And I can totally understand why they put them at the very beginning of this, because it's very much a like, okay, here is what you need to know generally for any of the rest of this to make sense, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, these are the lore-heavy, like, exposition-y ones before we get into the more weird stuff, I guess.
Yeah, and in fact, the next one is one of the weirder ones. We get The Duel, which is a, it's hard to explain. This art style is like,
yeah,
it's supposed to look watercolory, kind of like Japanese woodblock painting almost.
Yeah,
and then,
right. That's the impression I got.
And then you kind of quickly realize when the characters start moving that, oh no, this is a CG. This is a filter over CG that doesn't actually look all that great. and so it's this big like story of an elite, which is one of the Covenant races of, you know, the original Halo villains that kind of turn out to be, you know, allies or whatever.
Yeah, eventually end up being allies.
The just about some, I guess it was the main elite guy. Who was it? Like was that the Arbiter?
Yeah, it is an Arbiter. I mean, basically the story of this is kind of like the elites. How do I even? If you're familiar with the games, this is not new. But if you are, I'm gonna try to lay out stuff as simply as possible. Basically, the Covenant is a collection of different alien races, all of which have come together under this theocratic rulership, and the elites are one of those races. But this is basically showing kind of the beginnings of the elites joining the Covenant, and the main character,
oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah. And the main character is an elite with a position known as the Arbiter, which is like, I guess, some kind of authoritative position in elite society pre-Covenant. But basically, this is a story about how this guy isn't very comfortable with these, you know, they're like honor-bound, you know, noble warrior race being used by the Covenant in whatever way they're being used.
Yeah.
And so then there's this big conspiracy to, like, kill his wife to draw him out so that he has to duel this other elite. I don't know. It's honestly kind of confusing. Like, there's some stuff in it that I was just like, wait, why is this how this is?
Yeah. And it's just, it's kind of like, it's clearly the elites are like, oh, they're like samurai, you know?
Yeah, right, right. That's very much. I mean, right down to the bad guy elite having armor that is just straight up samurai armor, which is pretty cool. But also, like, one of my stupid nitpicks is, why is it that the elite that is, like, super pro Covenant is the one in the super traditional looking armor that we've never seen in the games? Like, why doesn't he look more normal? And then the one who's, like, trying to cling to tradition is in the traditional armor. I don't know.
See, you know, I spent most of the time trying to rub the Vaseline off of my computer screen. Like, this is a difficult to watch video.
Yeah,
when you do see it, it's like, I can kind of see the CG underneath that doesn't look very good. I've never seen a female elite, but the female elite design
is very weird looking.
A creature from Avatar. It's something. This might be my least favorite one.
I can understand that.
It's very melodramatic and kind of stupid. It and it's just, like, so predictable. Like, yeah, I get it. They're going to have a duel, and it's about honor, I guess. And, yep, sure. He kills his wife. Okay.
I will say that I think that the intention behind the animation is really interesting. Like still images from this, I would say, look quite good, actually. But it's once it starts moving that it starts to look weird. And, like, I like the stylization of making it this kind of, like, samurai, you know, story of this character. There's, like, a point in the beginning where he's, like, fighting bandits, seemingly. That's kind of cool. Like, there's, I don't know, there's some kind of, like, Ronin aspect to it that I thought was an interesting element.
It kind of reminded me of, like, when Samurai Jack would just decide to go into a different art style.
Oh, yeah, totally, actually. That was pretty much exactly what it is.
That was, like, the best. I don't know. This one, I didn't think it quite worked.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I just think that I would not say this is my least favorite, even though I think it's probably the least good-looking. Well, the second least good-looking. Because it feels like a weird, like, I don't know, it feels like a story that actually takes advantage of the fact that they're just making a short film set in the Halo universe in a way that some of the others, I think, don't. I'll probably get into this more once we get to the conclusion, but, like, I don't know. I thought it was okay, but I can totally understand why you didn't like it, because it is fairly predictable and it looks pretty weird. And, like, it's also, frankly, kind of confusing. Somehow it is both predictable and a little confusing. Oh, and also, I should point out, sorry, that this was made by Production IG, who have made many, many things. But the connection that I was most excited about is that they did the anime sequence in Kill Bill Volume 1, which is, I think, maybe my second favorite part of that movie, because it just comes out of nowhere. And it's like, hey, this live action movie, fuck it. Just have an anime sequence for this flashback. All right.
Yeah, awesome. Why not?
And it looks fucking great too. Like, it's pretty cool. So
next up we have Homecoming. This one has kind of a more of a traditional anime art style.
Yeah, definitely.
And is more about, like, these Spartans, because, like, the Spartan program that makes these super soldiers, you know, turns out that the humans have is, you know, kind of a fucked up program if you know the lore, where it's like they apparently kidnapped kids and, like, replaced the kids with clones and
with shitty short-term clones specifically that died after, like, a year or so of apparently natural causes. But yes, this segment is kind of based around that, and it doesn't get quite as into it as you might like for someone who's not as familiar with the background stuff. But mm-hmm. basically, this also is a good example of a trend that we will see more in the future, which is segments where we continuously flash backwards and forwards in time.
Oh my god!
Which happens like every fucking constantly.
Yeah,
at least half of them, I would say. But
yeah.
So basically, we start out and it's like this battle between humans and Covenant. And then this Spartan shows up, and the Spartans are the super soldiers, and they're trying to evac. And while they're trying to evac, we get flashbacks of this the Spartan woman, kind of in her childhood, running away from the program and trying to make it home, and then finally getting home and finding that she's been replaced by this clone who is wheelchair bound and, you know, apparently kind of sickly. And then as that's going on in the present, we're seeing that actually the place that they're fighting over, that's like a war torn planet that's, you know, being destroyed, is her home planet. So there's this kind of parallel there.
And yet another important part of this thing that I did not pick up on.
Really? Oh, I thought that was... All right, fair enough.
For some reason, I just didn't pick up on that.
I liked this one mostly just for the aspect of touching on the sort of shady stuff that the human government did to make these super soldier characters. I feel like it could have touched on it a bit more, but as someone who's... You know, what's weird about watching this movie was realizing, like, I'm quite familiar with the Halo lore, despite the fact that I haven't, like, they publish books and shit all over the place, and I will admit that I read the first three.
There it is.
But the thing is, the first three were, like, came out when the first game came out.
Oh, jeez.
Like, literally, since then, I haven't really delved into, you know, tertiary lore at all, with the exception of, like, watching a TV show once. So I was a little surprised at how much I was picking up on some of this stuff. I guess that in this case, it is directly talking about, you know, the thing that the early novels covered, because they're, you know, it's like a prequel. So that makes sense.
This one's decent. I feel like the animation's not as strong as some of the others, but in general, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I will also say that there's a marine like dude in this that's quite annoying, and I can't really even explain why. Like, he just like his first couple of lines are like, "Oh man, this isn't my day," because he's like getting his ass slaughtered by Covenant, and then. Like, the other thing is just his voice was so familiar and I couldn't place it, and it just annoyed me through, like, the whole thing.
It was just, like, the most stereotypical rugged Marine guy.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, there was that, too.
Actually, this is my day. No, this ain't my day. Like, shut the fuck up.
I was waiting through the whole thing for him to say it again, and I was I'm going to be so annoyed when he does. So... This was also made by Production IG, by the way, and as well as B-Train, who are the makers of Dot Hack Sign, among other things.
Yeah, I think it's their subsidiary or something like that.
Yeah, right. So moving on, we have the short Odd One Out. This is the other one that wasn't broadcast on Waypoint, made by Toye.
Yeah, this is also the only one that is deliberately stated not to be canon.
Yes. Because it's quite silly.
Yeah, it's like kind of a parody. It follows Spartan 1337, member of Master Chief's unit, and who's just like constantly unlucky and completely kind of, he's just kind of a fuck up. And he's,
well, yeah, but also very cocky and with like the perfect like ridiculous heroic voice, basically.
And this, he gets like stranded on a planet because he falls off of the dropship, and he just finds these like random kids who are like cavemen kids that are locals, I guess.
Yeah, and then gets eaten by a dinosaur.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. then like you kind of find out the kids were raised by this AI, and there's like these older kids, and they're like, "Hey, Oh, he gets pitted up against this like experimental covenant.
Alien. It's a brute specifically. Yeah, if you're familiar with the franchise.
Yeah, it's a kind of like a psychopathic brute though. Like it's like a
who's also completely stupid. Yeah, and like has intelligence whatsoever.
I love where it's just like, yeah, we're gonna get an idiot versus idiot here, and it's gonna be perfect.
right. And the like, you know, alien theocrat leader, the prophet, is commanding the brute. It's like, no, you idiot, the other way. Like,
yeah,
you're just going like, the wrong way.
And he gets them, so they get pitted against each other, but two of the kids, the older kids, come in to help out, and they just randomly have fucking superpowers.
Like, yeah, they're basically just like,
they're just Saiyans. Like,
yeah, right. They just have, they're just super strong. And I was like, all right, fuck it, whatever.
What a crazy cool, reveal. Fine. Just like,
I was like, are they Spartans also that have been like lost or something? Or why am I bothering to think about this? It's just cool.
Right.
So, and then, yes, they beat the brute specifically by, if I remember correctly, a ship shoots it with a rail gun.
Yeah, yeah.
To kill it, which is ludicrous. And then, yeah, Spartan 1337 gets to have his moment of semi-heroism while all the kids go back to their AI mom, basically. Yep.
Before he's carried off by a pterodactyl.
Yes, right. And so that's that,
you
it.
Know, this is a goofy breath of fresh air, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of hoping that there'd be a more comic segment in all of this. Yeah. And I appreciated that there was one, certainly. Also, the animation looks quite nice. I will admit,
yeah, this was pretty good.
I will admit I was not a big fan of the character designs for the faces of the more adult characters. Like, pretty much everything else I was fine with, but the older kids' faces and, like, Cortana's face really creeped me out. But, like, everything else, like, it's very crisp. It looks quite nice. It's well animated. It's a fun little segment.
And so the next one is called The Prototype. This one also has, I think, maybe some of the best animation of all of them.
Yeah, possibly. This was, by the way, made by Bones. Makers of My Bones. Hero Academia and Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, well, lots of things. This one's all about this like hardened sergeant who. This one's a lot of melodramatic shit too.
Yes, this one's very melodramatic. It's a sergeant named Ghost who is a Marine sergeant who lost his entire platoon, and so you know he's like hardened and inhuman. And he has a reputation as a team killer as a result.
And the first, make it sound like he kills his own team in online play.
Yeah, I mean, that would be appropriate for Halo. Like, that shit happens, man.
Yeah, and it like starts with the scene of him like holding his dying squad mate, and she's like telling him, like, just try to be human. Like, what are you doing? There's no point. Like,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, like, which that was a decent scene the first time I saw it, but I didn't need to see it like three more times.
Yeah, right. So it cuts from there to him on this planet that's being attacked by Covenant, of course. And he's like part of a demolition team that's supposed to destroy something. And it's not really specified.
It's like a prototype weapon or something. And it turns out he starts commandeering it to help out the, you know, because they're getting their asses kicked.
Yeah, and so
his prototype weapon, which is basically like a Halo Gundam.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like prototype armor that the super soldier Spartan characters would wear, except it's like fucking twice as tall and just covered in guns and thrusters and bullshit. So
it's pretty awesome though, the action sequences with using this thing, because he just like shreds through them.
Yeah, so he's trying to recover the retreat of his team because, you know, he's like, oh, my last team died. I can't lose this one, too, even if I die. And, the animation is impressive. I will say that I feel like the style was kind of generic, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, like, also the plot is basically that he just blows up a shitload of Covenant. His people get away safely. And then somehow, coincidentally, the thing that he, like, the code phrase that he has to speak to blow up the suit that he has is also yeah. the thing that the girl, you know, that the dying Marine woman told him that he has to be human. And so,
like, yeah.
Yeah, so he says that, like, and it fucking blows up, like, half the planet. Like, it blows yeah, up like yeah. it's fucking Goku throwing a spirit bomb.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Like, almost blows up the ships that are retreating. Like, Jesus
it's,
Christ.
It's ludicrous. And, like, I don't know. I'm lukewarm on this one, to be honest. It looks really good, but
yeah.
the plot is so, like, something I've seen a million times before.
So, like, angsty too.
Yeah, but it's so, like, I don't know, it just feels very generic plot wise of like it, oh, you like, I'm not a human anymore, but I have to reclaim my humanity. And for a thing that I feel like I've seen a million times before in this basic context, this fucking thing really hammers it home. Like,
well, it's what's really annoying is they go through the entire scene in the beginning, and then when he, like, sees that his the code he has to enter to blow himself up is be human, he flashes back and does the entire scene again.
Yeah, we have to
and,
see
like,
it again.
This is a short film. Like, we
yeah, there's
we
no way you
just
would have forgotten
saw this.
That.
There's no excuse. You know, like, this isn't like a Toonami where it's like, oh, a prior episode, clearly this is covered, so maybe a kid hasn't seen this in a week. Let's show it again. No, this was like 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, it has the whole thing where he's like defying orders to save his team,
yeah,
which is a thing I've seen a million times, and in like in every video game ever, basically.
Yeah,
and also, like, you know, as as commander's like, you gotta stop this, get back here, blah blah blah, and then at the end the commander's like, well, he was a good soldier actually, because he sacrificed himself, and he really was a human, I guess, after all. So, you know what, I'll redact all of my bullshit report.
Yeah,
I don't know, it again, it was a thing that looks quite nice, but I feel like the plot was something I've seen a million times, as I've said a million times so far. So let's move
and
on.
So this the next one, the babysitter, I think that one might be my favorite.
I would agree. I think the babysitter was my favorite too, frankly.
It's, yeah, it follows some ODST shock troopers, which are just usually pretty much like normal soldiers, but they like drop from space, I guess.
Yeah, they're like better trained and better equipped, and essentially their gimmick is they fucking drop out of space in little, you know, coffins, basically, so they can insert pretty much anywhere on a planet.
Yeah,
and it's also real fucking badass.
Yeah, they call them hell jumpers.
Yeah, they're awesome.
But I think the animation in this one is like top notch, and like the voice acting, and it's not like it doesn't repeat itself a bunch like the last one. It's basically this squad is sent down to a Covenant zone, and there's kind of this guy on the squad who's like, I hate Master Chief people. What do they call
yeah,
again? The Spartans. They have to team up with a Spartan.
Yeah, and he's real cocky, and he's like a sniper, and
yeah.
you know, the mission is to assassinate this one Covenant leader. So he's like pissed off because he is essentially the like backup in case the Spartan misses, and he's like, that's bullshit. Like, I'm the best shot in this entire
yeah.
sector, whatever. So, you know, why should I have to worry about this? And like, yeah, and it's basically just this team of people trying to do this thing. And I think, honestly, the thing that I liked about this more than most of them is it's the first one that makes Spartans seem, like, pretty fucking remarkable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
Because the Spartan just fucking ruins dudes and is super strong and stoic and shit. And it's, you know, it's kind of standard, but I don't know, it's nice to see these characters that are supposed to be like the most badass superhuman soldiers ever actually get the treatment of being the most badass superhuman soldiers
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. And yet also, you know, like, capable of being killed, you know.
Yeah,
Oh, and it is a little dumb that there's this whole, like, reveal that, oh, the Spartan's a woman, which we both called, like, way early on.
Yeah, right, because the Spartan makes no vocalizations prior
yeah.
to having their helmet knocked off. Also,
which is, like, it seems like kind of a point. Like, is it really like that crazy? Like, why does this have to be made a reveal?
No, I would get on a, you know what, I'm going to get on a bit of a soapbox about this. This is a twist that I'm very tired of seeing, because I feel like it's not a twist. Like, is it really beyond my ability to comprehend that this badass character could be a woman, actually?
It's basically like it's the Samus. Doctor is a woman joke, like, but in sci-fi.
Yeah,
it's like,
no, it's...
What? Like, that joke used to be a thing because people couldn't fucking comprehend a doctor being a woman, and, you know, that would trick people. Now it's like... Oh God! The soldier's a woman. What?
Well, the thing, why did we
have,
dude?
Why did we have no one talk to this character, like, who is leading the squad? Basically,
well, in fairness, I can actually kind of understand that, just because, you know, the Spartans are this weird mythic thing, and there's some like tension between the groups. Like, I can kind of understand that. The weird thing is that there's just no like grunts or anything from the Spartan.
Right.
But really, my point is, like, it's just Samus Aran. It's just the Samus reveal from a game that at this point is what, like 40 years old? Like, is that still surprising people? There's a reveal like this in fucking Solo, A Star Wars Story. And I was like, seriously? Oh, wow. I'm so shocked.
Yeah.
No, this shouldn't be a thing anymore. Like, we should be able to collectively accept, like, women can be badasses. Yeah. It's not surprising.
It's not like they've never had female soldiers before or for centuries at this point,
right?
Like, in terms of their navy.
Right. It's not like we haven't seen female Spartans earlier in this very movie.
Right.
Now, or that they're this... just canon in the whole games and shit anyway. Like, it's, I don't know, it's weird. Also, it annoys me a little bit that her hair is very long, because I'm like, where does that fucking hair go in this suit?
It is,
like, I get why
she,
it's long,
she looks,
but still.
Like, identical to Griffith from Berserk, which is really weird.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of strange.
The, but besides this story beat, which is kind of just played out.
Yeah, right.
I think it's still a really good, it's a really good story in general, you know. I think he ends up having to take the shot because...
because she gets clobbered by an alien.
Yeah, sneak attacking. You know, you find he becomes more hardened in the end and, you know, doesn't want to eat lunch with some jackass who's talking shit about Spartans.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
know.
I think that the thing that's weird about this is I think that this is the kind of twist that for the character is meaningful, but not for the audience. And I wish that it wasn't kept as a surprise for the audience, but maybe it was for the character. Like, I think that that would have worked better.
Because, I agree with that.
Because it seems like the point where this guy realizes, like, what a piece of shit he's been is like, oh, wait, like, this woman has saved my life repeatedly. I didn't even, and none of my squad mates, for that matter, even conceived that this could be a woman. Like, the twist is, I think, meant to be more a reflection on him. But it comes across because the audience, you know, quote end quote, doesn't know either. That it's supposed to be a twist for the audience, which is what I feel like is played out. Like, I think it works on the character level. I think on the audience level, it's just stupid. But
well, speaking of stupid, let's move on to the final segment.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so the final segment is called The Package. This was produced by Cassio Entertainment, who, from what I could find, were basically involved in one other thing, which is Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, which you have some opinions about, but I have never seen, so we're not going to get into that. Basically, this is a story about Master Chief and a squad of Spartans fucking flying through space on what are essentially space motorcycles covered in missiles and guns, blowing the shit out of a bunch of Covenant ships in order to retrieve... a character, Dr. Catherine Halsey, who is like the originator of the Spartan program and is a pretty serious character in the Halo lore, who doesn't show up in the games all that much. And it's CG animated, and boy,
Yeah.
Like,
look, the faces don't look great, all right? It kind of reminds me of the Halo 2 faces. Where,
yeah, like,
except they don't pop in. I wish they did.
Oh my god. That would be so funny. Would, like, oh yeah.
It would load their faces.
What are you talking about? Of course they remember, like, that. Yeah, they'd have the bump map and the color, but not the texture. And then it would be,
yeah,
like,
and they looked hideous.
Partway through, like, a cutscene most of the time. Yeah, that
all
was awesome.
Clay face.
Great stuff. Anyway. So like, this is also the last one, which pisses me off on several levels. Like,
it's pretty long.
It's quite long, and it's the same shit. It's just, like, action-y stuff. Like, I hated, like, this short. I legitimately hated it.
See, I think, like, the action's okay. It's just kind of your typical over-the-top CG shit. Like, okay, I get it. They're flying around shooting stuff. The you know, the story or drama is lost on me.
Pretty,
like, it's
standard.
Just kind of,
yeah,
it's so standard that it just doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, okay, oh, all the soldiers end up, like, sacrificing themselves so that Master Chief can keep going.
Yeah, and then most, you know, of them are actually them fine at the end, which is kind of weird. Yeah,
well,
there's
some of them died.
Yeah, sure, but there's, like, some weird stuff where the elites on the Covenant ships are like there's some secondary plot line with them that doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, at all. The elites just kind of leave in the end when they could have,
right,
like,
it's weird.
Left with the Master Chief and Halsey, and,
yeah, but,
you know, like,
but
really
instead,
caused a problem.
Yeah, right, but no, they don't do that. Instead, they, like, drop them off, and then they find some kind of bullshit ship so that they can get out of there. So, I hated this short. I legitimately hated it, and
yeah,
I'm going to go through my three reasons for that, and the last one is going to move into what I felt about this thing overall, generally. All right, so first of all, it's CG animated, and please, like, don't get me wrong, but I have not seen a, like, Japanese-produced CG animation that I didn't not like, frankly. Like, and admittedly, I have not seen a lot of them. I'm sure there are good ones out there, but this, and then my other example being Gundam Igloo, just have really awkward, like, not very stylized CG designs. So it just looks like awkward, like, people. And I don't know.
I think there's less budget for that kind of thing, too.
I mean, sure. It's just weird to me because it's like anime in general, like 2D anime, is generally quite stylized. And then, like, it moves to CG and it's like, all right, we got to get it to look like people, except that it never does because, you know, like, they don't have the money for that. And, like, no one does, you know, like, Pixar is not trying to make their shit look like real people. Generally, it's usually stylized to some extent. And I feel like
this
really isn't. It looks like a bad video game cutscene. And like, it sucks. Like, just on the first level, I think it looks quite bad and there's no style to it even. Like, I'll give some points to the duel for trying to have a style. Even if it doesn't look very good in the end, I still prefer it to this because someone thought, okay, this isn't just going to be CG. We're going to try to make it look like something else. Like, does it work? Maybe not. But I'll give it points for that. The second thing is, frankly, they really, really hit something All right. So, the character Cortana, who is an AI, is basically just an AI copy of Dr. Halsey. Like, that is a story thing from the books. Mm. That's fairly important. In this short, basically, once Halsey gets released from the little, like, freezer capsule that she's in, every one of her goddamn lines is, like, a fairly iconic line from Cortana from the games.
Oh, really?
Yes. And again, it's like,
so cheesy.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I fucking know. Like, I get it. I get it, movie. You don't have to hammer this in for me anymore. You don't have to have her just saying Cortana's lines so I can be like, ooh, that's Cortana. Also,
see,
it's the same voice actress. Yeah, sure, but, like, fair enough, but if you do know it, it's annoying as shit. And it wasn't a thing that you were like, oh, wait, now I get it. it was just like, you know, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem, it's just unsubtle and stupid, frankly.
Yeah.
And the final point, which moves into my critique of this whole thing overall, is like, why did this need to be a short Halo thing? This is just like a scene from one of the games to me.
Yeah.
And I think that is like, yeah, overall, my problem with this movie is, a lot of these segments, I feel like, are just sort of, all right, yeah, like, why does this have to be an animated short rather than just part of a game? Like, what's the remove here?
Yeah, they could have just made, like, a game of vignettes, which they kind of did with ODST.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not saying that necessarily. It's just, like, to me, if you're making a short film, or if you're moving something from one medium into another, I feel like you should try to do something different that you can't do in the original one.
Yeah.
And stuff like this, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, why am I watching this? Like, this is just, I would rather be playing the game than watching this right now, because this is just like an animated level from the game that I can't get into because it looks kind of shitty. And it's not very well written. Like,
yeah.
So, and I don't feel that way about all the segments either. Like, I think that Homecoming was a segment that I was like, okay, yes, I see why this is animated. Like, this goes into stuff. Like, The Babysitter 2 was a thing that I felt went into stuff that wasn't just flashy, cool action. And to a lesser extent, Duel, because it was just not even involving humans. Like, that felt like a side story to Halo in a way that I don't really see being put into a game.
Yeah.
But this segment in particular, I was like, this just feels like I'm watching someone else play Halo. And
yeah, and it's why? Like watching the coolest cutscene someone could have thought of in 2010 and put on CG and like dated CG, and it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, like there was a time when I would have liked this. Like, to me, this is like, oh, this would be really cool if I was 14.
Sure. And in fairness too, I think that when you're making something like this, like, you are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because you have the people like me who are generally fans of Halo, but also, you know, feel like, well, I want something different in my, you know, Halo shorts compilation movie. But then there's also a not insignificant audience that probably kind of wants to see this kind of like cool fucking action bullshit that, you know, is kind of like what the games are. I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand that there is a market for this. It's just not for me. And I guess I would rather it be a segment in a compilation movie than like a whole movie.
But, oh God, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's just, and it's also just that it's the last one. Like, it just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's true. The last one, and it's like excessively long and does not have much to offer.
Right. Exactly. I don't know.
It's got a lot going against it.
So overall, we've been talking about this for a long fucking time, so we should wrap up. Overall, I think that this is fine. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to say that you should definitely go out and watch it. I think there are a couple of segments that are probably worth viewing. Like, as we already said, The Babysitter and Homecoming, I think, and Odd One Out, if you want a more comedic thing, are like the three that are worth it. But outside of that, I feel like they're all either kind of generic or like just don't work very well. Like, I'll give Duel some props for trying something, but I don't think it worked out very well.
I think it's kind of a shame. Like, when you hear about, oh, we got this compilation with all these different animators and stuff, but it just doesn't seem like it all came together super well, or maybe there wasn't that great of a budget. I don't know.
I mean, the thing is,
some of it just seems kind of dispassionate.
Yeah, I can see that. And to be honest, like, again, I don't think that this is overall bad, really. Like, I think it's very fine. But I just don't feel like saying, like, yeah, go out, watch this 2-hour thing that's, like, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Don't, you know, there's other stuff to watch, which is unfortunate because I like Halo quite a bit, but...
Yeah, but you know what? There's Dragon Ball Z to watch.
True. And also I can just play the games, or I could watch the 3 segments of this that I think are actually worth watching and skip the rest of it. So, but yes, we need to get to Dragon Ball Z so we can record an episode that is shorter than this one about a show that we're actually watching seriously. End of the Cell games, Gohan super strong. And, oh boy, is there a disgusting scene that we're going to talk about in depth because we've already started watching it. That'll be next week. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us again soon for Dragon Ball Z Part 17, The End of the Cell Games.